Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, precious ones, to this program that is designed with you in mind to cause you to walk in God's supernatural working power and to be established in the Word of God. I want to take you into our program today and get ready to be blessed. Even as we were blessed, you will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
Say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It has the power to change my life and to give me an inheritance amongst all the saints. I'm not a hearer only, but I'm a doer of the word. Wave your Bible at me and shout hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I'm going to start a series I've titled, I don't know how many times I can preach it, I've titled, Eating the Good of the Land. Amen. Oh, your amen needs a top up. In Isaiah chapter 33 verse 6, the Bible says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times, or of your times. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. That means that if things are shaking, that means that if things are not going the way it should go, we have some stability. And that stability comes from the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Amen. Knowledge is power. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that by knowledge shall your chambers be filled. If you are ready for the word of God, lift up one hand. Let's share a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's time to declare your word. The word is already anointed. I ask that you anoint these lips of clay and grant me utterance and make me a blessing to your people in Jesus' name. And will the saints say amen? In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, Isaiah 1:19, the Holy Spirit through the prophet Isaiah says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That means that it is possible to eat the good of the land. Amen. When the Bible speaks in our theme, the good of the land, it simply means the land being good to you. And this goodness is regardless of whether you live in a first world economy or a third world economy. What I'm trying to say is, it doesn't matter where you are living, but whatever good there is in that land, God is saying, if you are willing and obedient, you can eat it. May that be your testimony and your story. Your amen needs a top up. Interestingly, not many are enjoying the good of the land. And the reason is simple. Because many people, many Christians are not walking in the light of God's word. Many are looking to the government or to the society for a better land. But the scripture does not say that you eat the good of the land if you depend on the government. It did not say you eat the good of the land because of your job. But the scripture said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. May you eat the good of the land. Give me a better amen. So it makes no difference which government is in office or the economic status of your country or of this country. There is good for you in the land where you are. There is so much for you to enjoy. And whatever is good in this land, you will enjoy some. Why? Because God owns the land. In Psalm 24 verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns the land. And he's telling you that there is good in the land. He's saying there is good in the land. So if you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. So obedience to the word matters. Or practice of the word is very important. Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said to them on a sermon which he preached on the mount in Matthew chapter 7. Now most Christians know only the Beatitudes as the Sermon on the Mount. But the Beatitudes are not just the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus started from Matthew chapter 5 up to Matthew chapter 7. He was talking, he was preaching and teaching. So that whole, or those whole three chapters are the sermons on are the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 7, he says, amongst other things, from verse 24, he said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Now, this is the story. So Jesus told the story, or he made an allegory of two builders, one who built on the sand and another who built on the rock. They all built. Amen. And the life we are living, it is a building we are constructing. Amen. Oh, give me a better amen. And so he said that one built on the sand. He didn't think that there would be rain and there would be wind, that the winds will come. And he didn't think that there would be a shaking. Now, I want you to understand that there will be a shaking, the winds will come and the storm will rage. But what will sustain you is not just hearing the word, but being a doer of the word. Say, being a doer of the word. So he said, the two people built, one built on the rock, one built on the sand, and the rain came, and the storm came against both houses. It came against both of their lives. At the end of the rain and the storm and the winds, one was still standing, and the other was falling. At the end of everything, may you be found standing. Oh, your amen needs a top up. I said, at the end of it, may you be found standing. Give me a believing amen. And he said the one who stood was because he was not just a hearer only, but he was a doer or a practicer or somebody who obeys the word. That means that if you are going to eat the good of the land, you have to be a practicer of the word. There are some Christians, they take some of the word, they obey some, and they reject some. You can't choose what you want out of the word. You have to be a doer of the word. Even the ones you think you don't like, you must still be a doer of it. Give them praise. Give them thanks. Give them praise. You know, even in your marriage, if you are going to eat the good of marriage, you have to be a doer of the word. If you are just going to depend on culture or what the society is saying, because today the society is crazy. I mean, what the world shows as love is crazy. But if your marriage, you are going to benefit or enjoy the good of marriage, you need to be a doer of the word. And one of the things you must do is, if you are a man, you must be responsible for your home. And if you are a wife, you must understand that the husband is supposed to be responsible for the home. Because part of the stability you need, and we all need in our lives, is for men to take their place. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 23 and 24, the Bible says something. God tells the children of Israel, three times in a year, all men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God 3 times in the year. So God says 3 times in the year the men should appear. Now when you go on, he talks about the men coming with their families, but he is saying that the men must appear. They must be responsible. They are the ones he will hold responsible. You know, one of the challenges of the feminist movement is that when the feminist movement just goes alone on itself without just opposing scripture to it, there's a problem. And if you're a woman, no matter how educated you are, and no matter how wealthy and rich you are, if you don't take the word of God, you have problems. Amen? Because it is true that God created the male and female, but he created the man first. Hello? Why are you looking at me like that? He created the man first and gave him responsibilities before he created the woman. Now, that is why when they sinned, now you know that the sin started with the woman, you know that. You know that is the woman the devil reached first. But when God came to ask them, he didn't say, Adam and Eve, where are you? Or Adam and your wife, where are you? He said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Because in the sight of God, the woman was not responsible for the home. The man was responsible for the home. If I'm teaching some Bible, give the Lord praise. And so in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, the Bible says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Even though Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says through one man. How many are here with me? So we must be doers of the word. Amen? We must be doers of the word. Men in the homes must be... You know, it's amazing how the world... They are trying to shape the world. If you even watch our movies today, most of the movies, they want to make the woman responsible for everything. I'm not a male chauvinist, no. I mean, I respect women, I believe in their equality. But we can't change God's order. I mean, women were, and for the past few, some time now, they are trying to cast women in roles in movies, and they are making women assassins. Now, women don't become assassins. Once in a while, you find some assassins. They are trying to make action heroes of women, and the sad part is that when they do it, the movies flop. And why do they flop? Because women don't even want to see women killing other people. Women want to see romantic movies. They want to see things that show women as they are. Women want to show women. They want to see women taking care of the home, taking care of babies, etc. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, if we are not careful, because movies and television shapes our mentality, a lot of people's mentality will be programmed to think that, because when you even watch these days the movies, then when they are even going to kiss, the man doesn't initiate it, the woman initiates it. When they are going to fall in love, it's the woman that, you know, goes ahead. It's men who pursue women. How many understand what I'm talking about? So the Bible says, he who finds a wife or a good wife finds favor. How many are here with me? So there are very few women that propose. That is out of the ordinary. It's not wrong for a woman to propose, but the normal thing is for a man to propose. How many are here with me? And so the men must take their place. They must be doers of the word. Give the Lord praise. Let me reserve that for next year when we get into the family time. But if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So number one, you must be willing. That means that you have a choice. You have a choice. God does not impose anything on you. The good of the land can be there, but God cannot give it to you unless you are willing to have it. Amen. Tell somebody, unless you are willing to have it. Do you know that to live long is not dependent on God? Living long. If you are going to live long, it's not dependent on God. Because whatever God will do to make sure that you will live the number of years He has prescribed, He's done it. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. It says you choose. You can choose life or you can reject it. How many are here with me? I choose to live. You didn't hear me. I said I choose to live. Amen. I choose to live. He says choose life. Paul the apostle said, get my book, you shall not die. Paul the apostle said, look, currently I'm torn between two. Whether I should go to heaven, because there are blessings in heaven. When God showed me the place, it was amazing. Or I should stay on earth here. He said, when I stay, it will be of benefit to you. But left to me alone, I will want to be in heaven. He says, for your sake, I choose to live. And then he lived, and after a time he said, look, now I have fought a good fight. I have run the race. I have finished my course. It is left for me a crown. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. So even if you will live, it depends on you. Even if you live. The other time, I heard a man say that there's this lady that, she was sick and she kept fighting to live. And so doctors have proven that those who have some form of faith or some form of belief recover faster than those who don't. Amen? Because they choose to live. But as long as this lady was saying that, was fighting and saying she wasn't going to die, she was not going to die. She will always come out. And then one day the man said he visited her, and the lady said, I'm tired, I want to go. Said the next day the lady died. And it is true. Amen? Now, there are times when people die, we read all kinds of things into it. The person. It is true, Monsanto can tata you, but when Monsanto are tataing you, and you choose to live, you will live. You will not die this year. I say you will enter the next year. Give him praise, give him thanks, give him praise. Do you know that when it comes to even our worship of God, we have a choice? You can choose to worship and serve God or choose not to worship and serve Him. In Joshua chapter 24 verse 15, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I've made a choice that we will serve the Lord. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. So even your service to God is your choice. If you are willing and you are obedient, give me a believing amen. So that is it. Tell somebody it is dependent on you. That is the first thing we must identify. The second thing is that in eating the good of the land, location matters. Say location matters. And when I say location, I mean divine location. Divine location matters. In Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1, Genesis chapter 12, he says, "Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now in chapter 11, the last two verses, give me the last two verses of chapter 11 of Genesis. I want to say something quickly. The last two verses of Genesis 11. It says, "And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out from them from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan." So they left Ur of the Chaldees. Now, Ur of the Chaldees, when you go home, Google Ur of the Chaldees. Ur of the Chaldees was like the New York of today, or the Paris of today, or the Tokyo, or the London, or the Dubai of today. That was how, or Shanghai, or Hong Kong, or Singapore. Amen? That was how Ur of the Chaldees was. They did an excavation to see, and they discovered the houses that were there 500 years before Abraham. And they discovered that the middle class people in Ur of the Chaldees lived in two-story building homes. And the two-story building homes, if they were from the middle class, they had homes attached. They had rooms of at least 12 in the building. 500 years before Abraham. Are you here with me? So Abraham was in Paris. And God called him, or in New York, or Los Angeles, or London, or where again? Or somewhere like that. Amen. And God said, "Come out and go to a land I will show you. I want to give you a divine location. I want to place you in a place that I have chosen to place you." But you see, amongst other things, Ur of the Chaldees, they worshipped idols. Their system was the system of the world. And God wanted to build a new nation. So he had to uproot Abraham, get Abraham to get rid of all the system of the world, and get to a place where he will form a nation that trusted in him. It is not by mistake God took you out of your family and saved you and brought you into him and said, "Be ye separate from them." God wants to establish something with you. He wants to do something that is different with you. If you are here with me, give me a believing amen. That's what God wants to do. Amen. And when God uprooted Abraham from a civilized place, brought him to the land of Canaan, empty place, after a few years, from Genesis chapter 12, when God said, "In this land I will bless you, and anyone that blesses you I will bless, anyone that curses you I will curse." And I remember this morning Mama was telling me the Women's Fellowship bought a land in one of the suburbs of Accra, and the land guards went and broke the wall and they wanted to take it, and they served them notice. Not quite long, the head of the land guards, he shot himself. And so the people in the... if you are clapping, do it well. The people in the place, they are taking people's land, but when they get to the Women's Fellowship land, they take their hands off. Why? Because God said, "Anybody that curses you, I will curse. Anybody that..." Say divine location. After a few years, the servant of Abraham had this testimony about Abraham. When he went to marry for Abraham's son Isaac, he said in Genesis chapter 24, verse 35, he said, "The Lord has blessed my master greatly." He didn't say my master has worked hard. Thank God for hard work. Now, you know that I believe in hard work. Don't get me wrong. I believe, and I work hard. I work hard. Oh. because God will bless the work of your hands. So I believe in it. But the scripture says it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. May the blessing of the Lord be your portion. He says the Lord has blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, men and female servants, and camels and donkeys. So the servant of Abraham said, the Lord has empowered my master to succeed greatly. May that be your testimony. Today, talk to me. I said, may that be your testimony. May people who know you say that God has empowered you to succeed. You see, the people that know you, they should be able to say that it is not just by your might, nor by your power. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, when Peter and John raised the cripple, you know what the people said? The elders of the Jews, they said, indeed a notable miracle has been done. We can't dispute this. They all could see, listen, as a child of God, if you are coming from so far, because the first thing Jesus, when he declared or announced the anointing, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. The first thing he announced that the anointing on him was to do was to deliver people from poverty. Listen to me. Thank God for salvation. But after salvation, God wants you to be a testimony in your home. He wants the people in your community and your family to know that you serve a living God. Serve a living God.
A true hope. We serve a living God. Oh, everybody know. Thank you.
Hallelujah. So God wants everybody to know you serve a living God. If the people in your community see you, when you started, they saw that you were a suffer man, a suffer woman. And you started, you gave your life to the Lord. And every time they are seeing you carrying a big Bible, going to church, you are praying, fasting time, you are praying, etc. And then suddenly, things begin to blossom around you. And things begin to change. Oh. They can say, indeed, a notable miracle. My classmates, when they see me, they know that I'm a living miracle. Are you here with me? And there are some of you, that is your story. And it is going to get... Oh, you didn't hear me. I said it is going to get better. Because some of you, your father didn't take care of you. Your mother was a single mother. Maybe you cried, yeah, you didn't have a mother. Some of you, when you were going to school, you were born. So when they measured you, it was like you were not going to amount to anything. But thank God for Jesus. I said, thank God for Jesus. When he saves you, he forgives you of your sins, and then he gives you a future, shows you the end, and he says, I have thoughts towards you, not of evil, but of an expected end. And he makes you understand that even though your beginning may be small, your latter end will greatly increase. Amen? That is why we say in this church that God makes the nobody somebody, or everybody somebody. Amen? He's able to do that. And I can see some of you becoming a testimony, a witness, becoming a sign and a wonder. Tell somebody sitting by you, I don't know about you, but me, I'll be a sign. Amen. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, it says, and there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Stay in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swore unto your father, and I will make your seed to multiply the stars of heaven. Famine in the land. Things were not going well. Everybody was traveling. everybody was going to Egypt. Isaac too wanted to go. Because Egypt in Isaac's time was like the New York of today. Was like the Toronto and the Canada of today. And he wanted to go. He wanted to go. But God said to him, you, to Isaac, stay here. Stay here. Stay in this land. Stay. Stay. Tell somebody, stay. And verse 12 of Genesis 26. Put it on the screen for me quickly. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. I'll reserve that for another time. But go to the verse 13. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. When he stayed in the land, that God said he should stay in, divine location. Say divine location. So you must find out when that people are traveling. You must find out, does God want you to travel or he wants you to stay here? You must find out from him. Because it's not everybody God wants to travel. When I got saved and I got into ministry, a lot of my mates traveled outside this country. And I had the opportunity to travel. In fact, when I went to Bible school in Nigeria, the man, he used to be the president of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. He had built a church, brand new. Bought a car, he took me there, in Aba. Mr. Sambata took me there. Say, young man, come and see. Showed me the place, Charlie. And God was telling me, when I come back from Bible school, I should go to Tamale. And that time, Tamale is not today. And the man, Abba, he lived in Abba. We did the TV program in Abba, but he had built the church in Port Harcourt. He took me there. Charlie, when I looked at the building, I thought he just wanted me to inspect it. When I finished, in those days, the car in vogue was Peugeot. Because they used to produce Peugeot cars in Nigeria. Peugeot 504. He said, young man, I will give you this building. And I will give you this car so that you pastor this church. After seeing your ministry, I said, okay, let me wake up in the morning. So I went to bed. And when I woke up in the morning, I breakfast. He said, what do you want? I have to say? I said, I can't take this offer. God is sending me not to Accra. He's sending me to Northern Ghana. And everybody I'm talking to is telling me that that place, it is very difficult. But that's where God is taking me to. Divine location. You must know where God is taking you. Amen? You must know where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Years later, Mr. Sambata came here when we were in the old auditorium. And I said the story before him. And before the whole church, he said, I can see what the Lord has done. This is the doing of the Lord. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. So when God told Isaac to stay, he blessed him. Now, if God tells you to stay in Ghana, I tell you, give yourself 5 years. You will be amazed on how your life will look like. Oh, no. You didn't hear me. I said, give yourself how long? And you'll be amazed if you'll be a doer of the word, what the Lord will do. Let me quickly go to Genesis chapter 35. It's Jacob. The Lord said on Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. He said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto you when you fled from your brother Esau. Verse 5. And they journeyed, etc. Verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. So God told Jacob, specifically, you. Jacob went to his uncle Laban. Said, go back, go to the land. You know, amazingly, when Joseph left Egypt, he left Canaan and went to Egypt and began to prosper, he sent for his father. And his father, when his father was going, he didn't go alone. He went with his whole family into Egypt. And he went into Egypt. And there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph with time. And because there was no paper that was made, because that Israel had Goshen and it belonged to them, this Pharaoh began to torment them. It took 430 years. After 430 years, God brought them back to the place he had destined them to be, stay in this land. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? I wish I had time to work that part. Amen. After four. So, for some of you, the kind of blessings God wanted to give you, if you don't claim it now, generations after you, it will take them to come and struggle and get it. Because at the time God was giving that place to Abraham, he gave that place to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. If they had continued, it would have been Beatius. But they went and walked in Egypt 430 years. Finally, God brought them back. You know that after Israel disobeyed God and all that, and finally, from 70 years ago, when they came back to their land, what Israel has done back in their land is greater than what any nation has done in the past 70 years. In the past 70 years. You know the mobile phone you've been talking on and you've been making pow-pow, it was invented by the Jews. Motorola was the first mobile phone that came. 70% of the inventions that have been made in the last 200 years have been done by Jews. Amen? Time will not permit me to take you into the last 70 years. The kind of... You go on Facebook and you are always making papa. You know that the guy is a Jew. Oh, give the Lord praise. Give him praise. The third thing you must do. Third thing. Are you receiving something? Are you sure you eat the good of the land? Hey, mother. You've come back from UK. Oh? Huh? Ah, that's your son. You put on weight. Now you are looking. Hey, Charlie, oh, fresh. Oh, hey. Give the Lord praise. See, I know my people small. Number three. If you are going to eat the good of the land, you must know your purpose. Or you must know that you have a purpose. Say, I have a purpose. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says God. Thought of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. He says, I know the thoughts. I have plans for you. God has plans for you. Tell somebody, God has plans for me. Tell the person, the me you see like that, the kind of plans God has for me, you'll be shocked. Give him praise. Give him praise. God has plans, oh. And that is why you must take the word. Tell somebody, take the word. In Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nation. Ah! God was telling Jeremiah, you know, God called Jeremiah to go and preach, and Jeremiah would say, I'm a small boy. And God said, hey, hold on. I have thoughts I'm thinking of about you. And not only that, before I formed you, I knew you. And I chose you. You are not here by accident. You have been chosen. Hey, you think it is by accident you found perishable. And that is why some of you, there are times you miss your breakthrough. God planted you in this church. God knows that I'm the one who can pastor you into your promised land. And then, sorry, now, even though there are many churches in your community, you travel all the way to come to this place. Why? Because God knows that I'm the one who will help you get into your promised land. So stop the engineering voice. Tell somebody, stop the engineering voice. What is engineering? That is, you are making yourself somehow. You are making somehow. Tell somebody, don't make yourself somehow. Amen. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That plan and a purpose will be accomplished in your life. Give Him praise. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. Is it? Because, beloved, knowing your purpose on earth is crucial for living a fulfilling and meaningful life. When you know your purpose, very crucial, very strategic, and you must know. You must know. Amen. At the age of 21, in fact, God showed me that I'm called to be a pastor at the age of 18. When I got saved, 2 weeks after I got saved, He showed me that he gave me a conviction that He had called me to be a pastor. That was my purpose. And then when I was 21, He commissioned me into a healing ministry to reach the world. He made the purpose so clear to me. And I've tried my best. Amen. Give Him praise. So quickly, before I land, let's look at a few reasons why understanding your purpose is important. A few reasons. Number one, when you understand your purpose, it gives you direction and focus. It gives you direction and focus. Knowing your purpose provides a sense of direction and clarity in your life. It helps you to set meaningful goals and make decisions aligned with your values and passions. If you don't have a clear purpose, you may feel lost or aimless, and you won't have motivation or direction. So you need purpose. You need so that you can focus. Amen? So that you have direction. Because look, when you sit in an aeroplane and the pilot announces, "I am Captain Ajin Asare. I'm piloting this church. And we are taking off today. And I don't know where we are going." You want to find out if there's a parachute in the place. Are you here with me? "And so I am Captain Ajin Asare. Today, I'm flying to eating the good of the land." Oh, you will get there. Hallelujah. So you need direction. Number two, if you have purpose, it gives you meaning and fulfillment. You understand. When you understand your purpose, it gives your life a sense of meaning and fulfillment. When you are living in alignment with your purpose, you feel a deep sense of satisfaction and contentment. It brings you joy and fulfillment to know that your actions and contributions are making a positive impact. Number three, when you know your purpose, it gives you motivation and resilience. You are motivated and you have resilience. You don't give up. When you face obstacles or setbacks, because you know your purpose, it helps you stay focused and you persevere. It gives you the strength to overcome challenges and to keep moving forward. Because you know your purpose. And because you know your purpose, when the enemy hits you and you fall down, you get up and you say to him, "Oh, my enemy, don't rejoice. Because when I fall, I will rise again. If I fall 7 times, I will rise 7 times. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Some of you think that, you know, somebody was telling me, saying, "Oh, I was preaching and I was sharing some testimonies of some difficulties I went through." And the bishop said, "You When I look at you, the way you are always calm, I think you've never had any problems there. There's no general without scars. You can't get stars without scars. If you are going to be somebody who has achieved, you must have failed several times. You might have gone through the mill. Hey, Talek, you might have gone through the... Some of you even think that, oh, as for him, he has a healing ministry. So, hey. So as for him, life is when he's sick, he just prays. And then, there was a time I wished. It was like the bone was broken. And when my father was at my age, his waist broke. So I realized that the same spirit that, his waist broke. There were times my mom had to carry him on her back. So I realized that it's the same demon that attacked my father that is attacking me. And so I set fasting and prayer. I took authority over that waist breaking chair. For weeks and months, I was dealing with the situation. For weeks and months, the doctor gave me some, how do you call that? Some corset to wear. So I wear it and I wear my coat. Some of you think that my stomach has grown big. So I was adding prayer and finally I overcame. There was a time, because I had held microphone for years, when I started ministry, since 1983, I preach every day. Now that I'm growing that, I've reduced this small. Now I do maybe 4 or 5 days a week. You know, I've reduced this small. Mama keeps saying, you think you're a young man. But I feel it inside, you know, hallelujah. Because of holding the mic. And you see, for some of us, we don't just hold the microphone 1 hour. Because when I go out of church and I'm ministering, I preach for 1 hour. And I will cast out devils and heal the sick for another 2 hours. So every day I was holding the microphone at least 3 hours. So it got to a time I couldn't lift my left hand. They had to inject my shoulder bone. The bone. They used some thick needle B. Charlie, it's a bone. And during that time, every Sunday I'll still come here and preach. And during that time, most of them, if you're clapping, do it well. And during that time, because when I lift my hand or I move it, I have pain, I'll put my hand in my pocket. And so some people thought that, oh, the bishop is feeling proud. So now when he's preaching to us, his hand is in his pocket. They didn't know that I was dealing with some things. But because I had a purpose, I knew that you are part of my purpose for me to equip you and get you to my promise. And so even though the devil was bombarding me, I stood on the promises of God. And to God be the praise. Give him praise. So when you understand your purpose, you have motivation, you are resilient. Are resilient. Number four, if you know your purpose, you prioritize and you manage your time well. You set priorities. It allows you to focus on what truly matters to you, and you avoid getting caught up in distractions or activities that don't align with your purpose. It helps you make intentional choices about how you spend your time and resources. It makes you be able to... The songwriter said, Lord, teach me to number my days so that I will apply my heart to wisdom. If you know your purpose, you set your time. When other people are laughing, hey, they waste. You are concentrating, you are doing something, you are pursuing something. There is something you want to achieve. There is some place you want to get to. You don't want to be like everybody else. You want to get to the... Oh, you want to be extraordinary. Listen, you can't be extraordinary unless you add the extra to the ordinary. If you do ordinary things, you get ordinary results. If you are going to get extraordinary results, you have to add the extra to the ordinary. Are you here with me? I said, you've got to add what? So if every normal Christian is praying 1 hour a day, because you want to be an extraordinary Christian, you want to pray 2 hours. If every pastor, the normal average pastor, is praying 3 hours a day, and you want to be successful, you want to be extraordinary, then you will add 1 hour be to the three so that you will be extraordinary. It doesn't just happen. Tell somebody it doesn't just happen. Success doesn't just come. Amen? Tell your neighbor, success doesn't just come. When you know your purpose, when some of your friends are just partying, every holiday they are going somewhere, there's a public... You register for some school B. You are doing your master's. You are trying your doctorate. You are doing some short course B. You are doing some leadership training. Because you have a purpose. You want to get, you want to be extraordinary. You want to get somewhere. You don't just want to settle for the status quo. If you can understand me, give me a believing amen. Let me give you my last point. If you have purpose, it gives you connection. And you make contribution. When you have purpose, it gives you a sense of connection with others. And it helps you live in alignment with your purpose. Because you know that your purpose will help you make a positive contribution to your generation. If you don't have a purpose, everybody is your friend. If you don't have a purpose, everybody is your friend. And don't make everybody your friend. You see, you can't choose the family you were born into. You can't choose your mother or your father. You can't choose your tribe. But you can choose your friends. Amen? You didn't hear. You can choose your friends. So who are your friends? Show me your friend. The kind of friend you have in 5 years will show where you are getting to. Some people, all their friends are complainers like them. If your friends are complainers like you are going nowhere to happen. In this life, you must have 3 categories of friends. Write it down. 3 categories of friends. Those you look up to. You look up to them. And those you relate to. Your classmates, your peers, and those you empower are the 3 kinds of friends. You must always have friends that have done more than you have done. People that you can look up to them and they will help you aspire to go forward. But if all your friends are like you, you won't go far. There must be friends that are above you. And then there must be friends that are like you. Friends that are like you, you exchange ideas. And then there must be friends that you impart. You need those friends too. Because those friends you are imparting today, tomorrow morning, they are the ones who will hold your hand. And that is why you don't have to reject people today. And I look at some of the young ladies in church, and they are in their 20s. This brother says, sister, I'm interested in... Early 30s, the brother says, I'm... Me, dear, I'm looking for somebody who is... Hey, already made, oh. Already made. Any already made man is not your age group. He's older than you, crap. any already made man. And there are some of you ladies, God has blessed you. He has empowered you. You have your car, you have a job, you know, you have a good, you've rented a nice house. Some of you could have bought land. What is missing is a guy. Meanwhile, I have a lot of guys in this church. And the guy completed university or finished his apprenticeship not long. So probably when he wears trousers, the trousers is above skin. He doesn't have enough material to make him get down. And so the brother starts coming around small, then you look at him up and down. The same brother you are looking at up and down. Give him 5 years. Give him 5 years. And I've seen some of my daughters in the church. I saw them in their 20s. They are in their 40s now. And I could, those days they were hot. And the brothers, every time when they close church, the brothers will be talking to them and they'll be doing. And so they didn't accept any proposal. And now they are 40. So now they are waiting anybody that comes. But that time, you see, and those brothers that 20 years ago, they despise them. Today they are big men. How many are here with me? Am I teaching some Bible here? And so when you know your purpose, can you imagine if Mama hadn't accepted my proposal? Like by now she'd be saying, she erad de medim kwasi asem. I remember one of the ladies I proposed to who bounced me those days. 15 years ago, she saw me. She said, you are not patient. I said, please stop. That time you looked at me. If you get a guy who understands that if he's willing and obedient, he will eat the good of the land. And he understands that he must obey the word of God. My sister, my daughter, you don't need a guy that will rap you. The brothers, they are so dull. When you talk to them, their mouth cry is not sweet. You want somebody who's sweet mouth. Sister. When I saw you, my heart was running. When you walk like a gazelle. And when I look at the way you roll your eyes, it's like the eagle. That's what you want. You don't like the brother who comes. He doesn't know how. He grew up in the church. So he doesn't know how to run a girl. So he comes. Sister, have you done your Bible study? There you are saying, brother, no, I'm born. Brother, no, I'm born. If he doesn't ask you Bible study, he will ask you, did you go to sell me? When was the last time you won a soul? How many hours do you pray? That brother is better than that guy working the nightclubs who is telling you that his father owns the Kotoka International Airport Terminal 3. Give the Lord praise. Tell somebody if you are willing and obedient. Listen. In this land, it will be well with you. I said it will be well with you. Lift up your hands and talk to God. Claim the promises of God. Claim it now. 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 Oh, dear Jesus. Claim it now. Claim the promises of God. Claim the promises. Claim the promises. Listen to me. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, if your sins have not been forgiven, God's purpose will not be revealed like it should to you. But you are here with me. You are saying, Archbishop, I want my sins forgiven. Lift up one hand. I'm going to pray with you. Yes. Archbishop, I want my sins forgiven. Lift up one hand. Pray this prayer with me. Say, dear God, forgive me all my sins. Lord Jesus, you died for me. You rose for me. Come into my life. Make my life a testimony to those who know me. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayers. In Jesus' name, put your hand on your chest. Heavenly Father, for anyone who prayed this prayer, pray that you establish them in your house and make them a testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's lift up your two hands. May God cause his face to shine upon you. May he establish your feet in the land that he has placed you. Be a sign and a wonder. Go in the power of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Feel free to get in touch with us on social media and share your story on how God is impacting your life. You can also follow Bishop Chalfatin Asari on Twitter, @CAsInAsari, and like our Facebook page, Bishop Chalfatin Asari. Remember, the Asari is one word and not hyphenated, and look for the name that has a blue tick to show it's verified. Help us spread the word. Tell your friends, loved ones, and families about our podcast on Google Play Store, Podbean, and on iTunes. Stay blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655 +233 2676 7655 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com.